Hello!
It's Trip Talk!
Welcome to Trip Talk!
How's everybody doing?
It's Derek and Hannah.
What's up? It's been a long time, everybody. Good to be back on here.
This is the first episode.
This is the first one? Are you kidding me? I thought we'd done like 10.
We haven't been on here before.
Oh my god, where have I been?
So, not so much as a welcome back as a welcome to our first episode of Trip Talk. Kind of a time killer here as we're making our way back from Missouri to Iowa.
It's a long road. We're headed north. We've been headed north, and we're going to keep heading north.
It's true, for a long time now. So thank you all for being here with us to help us pass the time.
Absolutely. So first of all, Hannah, I got to know, what has been the highlight of our drive so far? We've been on the road for like 2 hours now. I want to know what the highlight of the drive so far has been. Tell me about it.
I would say the highlight of the drive so far has been finding a breakfast sandwich at McDonald's that I actually enjoy.
My God, folks. Okay, quick pause here. You have no idea the anxiety we have gone through and the stress that it's brought about not having the perfect McDonald's sandwich or the perfect McDonald's menu item for breakfast. And having found this, it opens up an entire new world of breakfast opportunities for us. Like, I can't even stress enough how exciting this is. The coffee, still didn't like the coffee, which is fine because Starbucks is always closed, but breakfast at McDonald's is a staple and now it can become part of our lives.
It's a good road tripping breakfast option, which Derek has always loved. He's a big fan of the McDonald's breakfast, but I have never really been able to find a food option there for breakfast that I've really enjoyed. I do love the hash brown, but I don't want to just get like 5 hash browns.
That sounds pretty good though.
Maybe sometimes, but I've done the McGriddles, which, yes, they're good, but I don't love the whole mixture of sweet and savory.
That's my go-to. I love the McGriddle. It's the best.
So I didn't love the McGriddle. What was it that fell apart all over?
The biscuit. The biscuit's tough. Biscuits are tough, I feel like, as a sandwich vehicle because they tend to flake apart if they're made the right way. Like, a really good biscuit should almost fall apart as you're eating it. So trying to put things on it, like, just doesn't work.
Right. So that was kind of a flop for me. But today we roll up and I said, all right, Derek, I need your help. We're going to find a sandwich here that works. And so I went with the classic number one meal of a McMuffin.
Oh, egg McMuffin.
And let me tell you.
Hard to go wrong. Hard to go wrong, really.
It was a hit. It was a success. I enjoyed my sandwich and we can now have McDonald's breakfast. And I will know that I have a go-to order, and so that was a highlight. We kicked off our trip today with a successful breakfast.
It's always a little bit sad when you realize you're at the end of a vacation, no matter how long or short it is. When you take off on the way home, you're like, oh, well, all right, it's over. That's kind of unfortunate, but did it keep recording?
Oh,
hey,
yeah.
Kept recording. All right. But it's always a little unfortunate, right? But to kick it off with the McDonald's breakfast, it kind of turned the whole day around. I mean, it really brought what was a dreary, rainy morning into a little sharper focus. Even though the sun is not visible, you know it's there, that helped. That helped with that knowledge. So
it's
McDonald's
true.
Breakfast.
That was a highlight. I will say also, we got so distracted by something I was looking up that we missed our exit. Not once.
Twice.
We missed it. We turned around and then missed it again. And you might be surprised by what I was so distracted by that caused us to miss our turn. We were driving past a sign for Joplin. And for some reason, I thought that Dolly Parton was from Joplin. I don't know why. If any of you have any idea, if there's some connection between Dolly and Joplin that I created in my head,
let us know. Hit us up on the phone lines. Give us a call.
Tweet at us. But anyway, I Googled where she was from, and I was so distracted looking at pictures of her when she was younger. I hadn't ever really seen a picture of her from when she was young. I've only seen her in her, like, current phase where she looks very done up all the time. And I was just, I hadn't realized how beautiful she was when she was younger. And it just, we missed her exit twice because of that. So
basically, if you'd been watching us from above, you watched you watched a white Jeep go one way and then back the other way. And then turn around again, so...
We did add a solid 30 minutes to our drive.
No, not that much.
It was like 20 to 30 minutes. I watched. I watched the time go up every time. But we have been true to our path now for a while. We're feeling good. We don't see that happening for the rest of the trip.
Knock on wood. Cross your fingers. Cross your toes.
We'll be okay. So, Derek, what's new?
What's new? Wow, what a question.
Tell me what's new in your life.
You know, that's one of those questions that you ask me that depending on the day, and I've got a completely different answer for you. At least that's kind of how it's felt over the last year and a half. I mean, at this point, we're kind of, it feels like, maybe, again, cross our fingers and toes, winding down with the COVID pandemic. There's light at the end of the tunnel, sunshine, rays of hope, whatever you want to call it. It feels like we're moving through this thing. And because of that, it kind of feels like life is starting to pick itself back up a little bit. The wheels are starting to turn. The machine is starting to crank itself back on. So that's pretty exciting. So I feel like through this pandemic has been so much change for me personally that when you ask me what's new, it's hard for me to try and pin that down. But let's see. In this moment right now, new stuff. Still working at, I'm at school. I've got Orange Theory that I'm working at right now. Those aren't really new, but we're looking forward to kind of the summer. It's getting closer and closer every day. Rumble strip. Hopefully everybody heard that. I'm getting closer and closer every day, getting to the summer. And so what I'm trying to figure out now, the process that I'm in at this point, is trying to nail down what my summer's going to look like in terms of employment and career opportunities. I've got my Orange Theory that I'm going to continue working at and coaching at. But now I'm on the prowl, on the search, on the hunt for what's going to fill in the rest of my time. Because I'm not one who truly enjoys sitting idly when I know that there's things I can be doing to make myself better and get better and make a little bit of money. Because money is always helpful living in the world we live in today.
That's true. You went a very different direction with this question than I thought. We told our listeners we were heading back from Missouri. I think there's been some newer happenings right now with our trip.
With our trip?
Yeah, we went on a trip.
We went on a trip?
Yeah, and all right. I think that's pretty new.
That is pretty new.
However,
I mean, that's kind of what's in my head at this point as we head back towards real life. Just, I suppose, just filling you guys in on what's going on as we head back towards the daily and the reality. But
that's fair.
In terms of this trip, I mean, we just had an awesome time down in Table Rock Lake, Paradise Point.
I had never been to Table Rock Lake. I'd heard wonderful things about just how beautiful it is. And so I finally got to experience that. Derek's been...
It was super fun.
How many times have you been to
Table Rock? Oh, gosh. I've probably been 5 or 6 times. I enjoyed every time, but this one was definitely special. Having Hannah there, that was awesome. Aww. It was really fun to... get to experience that place that I've been so many times throughout my childhood with her, which was awesome. And we have another plan to go back again
in the summer,
at the end of the summer,
which
so
would be great, because even though it was so fun to come, now I can just see, I mean, when you're going to a lake, summertime is prime time.
Yeah.
We did go out on a boat. We had like a 60 some degree day. And we're like, let's do this. So we went on a pontoon, and it was a beautiful day, a little chilly. The water was, what was the water temperature, Derek?
I think the water temperature was somewhere right around 50 degrees, so pretty chilly, pretty cold.
But Derek, 50 degrees doesn't matter, because when you're on the lake, if you don't get in...
It's just wrong. You failed. So I went ahead and jumped in anyway, which just felt like the thing to do, and I think I'm better for it. So I appreciate everyone's support in that. I think it was a really fun time for me jumping into the lake.
A reawakening of sorts.
Yeah, I was getting kind of tired, kind of down. I was a little bit dreary, And I think the leg just was, it was invigorating. It really brought me back. Gave me life moving forward for the rest of the day. And I think, you know, we went on to play a round of putt-putt golf after that. And I think without jumping in the lake, I don't think my putt-putt game even comes close.
It's true.
To the top of the leaderboard. And as it stood, I ended up finishing tied for second place. Or no, third place. We had a little bit of a shoot-off right at the end because we had a lot of great golfers out there.
I'd like to put in here that I was not one of them. My putt-putt game is very hit or miss. Sometimes I come in strong. But unfortunately, both times I played mini golf over this trip, I was very inconsistent and scored way too many fives, which is not even a good score on a regular golf course.
Fives will get you. Well, you know, it depends on the par. Sometimes you're playing those par fives, those big long par fives, and five feels good. Mini golf, you're usually shooting for a two or below.
I was also getting robbed. I had several times my ball hit the pin on my first shot.
Yeah.
Rimmed right out. It just wasn't my season. But next time, I'm coming back for redemption.
We'll be back round two later this summer. Stay tuned for those results. Big time gaming. Gotta love the mini golf. I mean,
Derek's grandpa actually came in
as the victor,
as
you
number
know,
one. And he was consistent.
As the patriarch of the family, it feels right that he would do so, but it's also a little humbling to have the old man beat you.
A new game we played that I had never played before, courtesy to Derek's mom, a statistics teacher, was Chardy Party.
Chardy Party.
And we were skeptical, and we laughed a lot about the idea of playing this game called Chardy Party, which is somewhat of a version similar to Apples and Apples or Cards Against Humanity. Similar concept, except instead of...
like, similar concept, but instead of like a saying or something like that, it gives you a graph. So you're basically working on some sort of statistical analysis when you're playing this game.
So the cards in your hand that you play down determine the y-axis of the graph.
So it's interesting. And I will say, so normally games like this, and we've all played them, so Cards Against Humanity, What Do You Meme, all of those games where you've got one person trying to decide which card is the funniest, we pretty much all know that the funny version is the adult version. That's pretty much how it works. There's really no give and take on that. It's the adult version that you play with your friends is hilarious. The family-friendly version just doesn't stand up, right? It's just not as good. It's decent usually, but it's not as good. This game, I've played now both versions. I played briefly the adult version of this Chardy Party game. Played a couple hands, couple rounds, and I thought it was fine. It wasn't that good. There were cards I was like, that's just kind of, I don't really understand why this is funny. And so I kind of moved on from it. I never planned on playing it again. This version that we played was the family-friendly version here on vacation. And this version was much funnier than the adult version of the game, which I thought to be really interesting. Because in my experience, the adult version is always more funny than the family-friendly. So I was pleasantly surprised by the hilarity of the game.
It really was funny. Like, as much as we had kind of laughed about the idea of this game being charts and graphs, it ended up lining up with the cards and the graphs most of the time. I think my personal favorite was a graph about superheroes, and Batman was really high in something that all the other superheroes were low in. And the cards that got played fit the graph so well.
I'm pretty sure the one that ended up winning was the card about the intensity of your whispering voice. So obviously Batman has the most intense whispering voice, and so that card gets played and all of us started whispering, "I'm Batman, I'm Batman." It was awesome. It was funny.
It lined up perfectly. So, if you have never played Chardy Party and you're needing a new game in your life, shout out Stephanie.
If feel like working on some statistical analysis while you play games, that's the game for you.
Jardy Party.
Find now at Hasbro.com.
Not sponsored.
Not sponsored, yeah. Want to throw that out there. Disclaimer, not sponsored by Hasbro.
Happy to review products, but being honest, not sponsored. So yeah, that was a new game I'd played that I'd really enjoyed. I should also mention that we played Big Boggle. And as most of you probably know, I kind of take a lot of pride in my Big Boggle game. I wear the crown proudly. I've only been defeated, Big Boggle, one time.
By yours truly. To be fair, this round of Big Boggle was interesting. It had a lot more people than either
Many
of us are
more
used
people,
to. So
yes.
That was, I mean, we're playing with a group of eight, I believe.
We
had all
that,
8 of us were playing.
I thought maybe that would affect my title with so many people being able to write down words.
But I think that at the end of the day, Hannah plays the volume game, and the volume game took her to the top of the mountain.
It did. It was a close game, but I took it.
I think there's been a challenge thrown down, though, I think in the next few games, to try and go for some bigger words, which I think it's fun for everyone when you pull big words out of the Boggle square.
However, as a first grade teacher, I'm really good at those three-letter words. And the rhymes, I see those, and what can I say? It's what I spend most of my time with. But I accept the challenge. I accept the challenge. I read books. I probably come up with some more five-letter words. That's my new goal, and it's really going to elevate my game, I think.
Ooh, there we go.
Speaking of elevating.
I do have, okay, quick thing about our vacation rental area, our home, condo, whatever it was called. Speaking of elevating, there was, and I kid you not, and I used it multiple times for literally no reason at all.
Unnecessarily.
An elevator in the condo. It was a 2-floor condo, which was cool in and of
cool
itself.
Cool spiral staircase.
And there was literally an elevator. And I rode this elevator up and down every time, even if it took an extra 2 minutes to do so. Because it was awesome. Like, that was the next level. And I've always craved that. I always love that next level of elevation when it comes to enjoying your time. And it did it for me. That was great. That was awesome. Elevator was sweet.
Derek is kind of known for saying that he wants to, quote, elevate. Likes to take things that next step up, really keep it classy. So
it's nice to be
the
classy.
Elevator was kind of a fun play on that word.
That was a good time. That was a good time.
So our trip was very new. We're on our way back from it. We had a great time. It was very short, but well-lived, well-packed in. Saw some beautiful sights. Played some basketball, rode some bikes, did lots of things in our short time there. What else is new, Derek? Have you seen any good movies lately?
Any good movies? Trying to think of movies I've watched recently. We just finished watching the Hunger Games series.
It's
that's
true.
Quality.
Which we'd both seen before, but it's been a long time since we'd rewatched all of them. And I probably reread the book series about once a year. So the storyline isn't unfamiliar to me by any means, but I hadn't watched them all the way through in a while. And I definitely prefer the first couple movies. I think just the story in the first two is, I don't know, more enjoyable.
It's a little less war.
Yeah.
A little more personal. I feel like I enjoyed all four of the movies. I think I really like the second two.
Catching Fire is my favorite one.
Especially the Mockingjay is the final one, right?
Yeah.
So I really enjoy Mockingjay Part 2. The way it ends is tough. I don't really like the way it ends. I don't like the way it ends in the book either. But for the most part. But then again, so I really, one of my all-time favorite series, I don't think you've ever seen this, is Band of Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And that one's tough. So if you've seen Saving Private Ryan, Tom Hanks is an executive producer on Band of Brothers. which is an HBO miniseries about the 101st Airborne in World War II. And so kind of their journey through from D-Day on June 6th of 44 all the way kind of through the invasion of Berlin and finishing the war. So it's a pretty incredible story to watch and listen. And they bring on some survivors from that group, because they were able to get some interviews with those guys before they passed away, as World War II is so far in our history now. But the story is crazy, and it's their journey through it. So it like follows them through as they walk through this war zone and are taking things on. And that's kind of what Mockingjay Part 2 reminds me of, is that as they're traversing through the city and trying to make their way towards the end goal, and following the story as they go, is kind of, it reminds me of that Saving Private Ryan or Band of Brothers. And those stories are so intense and so human that it's really interesting to me to watch those.
Yeah, Catching Fire, the second one, is definitely my favorite of the four movies. I like the new characters that get introduced. I think the story really picks up. On the note of the Hunger Games, you have still not read the prequel book that came out, did you?
I haven't, no.
So the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. Ballad of Songs and Snakes, right? I believe it's Songbirds and Snakes. I believe it's the Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, which I've only listened to on audiobook, and I typically prefer books when I just read them. So it was interesting that I actually listened to it first. I haven't read it yet. But really interesting story. I wasn't that excited about it because it'd been a while since I'd read the books, and I'm not a huge fan of President Snow, so I didn't think I'd enjoy a book that revolves around his character. However, it was his character as a 18-year-old boy, and everything was a completely different world than we knew in the actual Hunger Games series. So I actually did find it really good. So I would recommend that to anyone who had been a fan of the Hunger Games series as well.
I'll have to check that out, because I feel like, to me, President Snow is such an interesting character throughout the entire series, just because he truly does. He tells Katniss at one point that we're not going to lie to ever lie to each other. And I think that's such an interesting way for a villain of a series to act. In, I'm being completely truthful, I am truly the person that you think I am. I truly am the man that you see in front of you. I'm not trying to be deceitful. I'm not trying to be underhanded. I am trying to hurt you in this way. And it's like, whoa, that's like, no villain is really ever upfront about that, right? They're always trying to shroud their evil in a guise of, like, being helpful to the people, or peace, or searching for some sort of truce, or whatever it might be. I mean, think of Thanos, right? He's trying to kill half of humanity, half of living things in the galaxy, or in the universe, and... But in doing so, he hides it under this idea that he is searching for peace and trying to bring around that sort of prosperity to all who survive and all who make it by eliminating half of the living things. And so I think President Snow is an interesting departure from the usual villain who is hiding behind a wall of some lie they're telling themselves. So I think it's kind of interesting. He's an interesting character. So I'm kind of excited to read that book. I know it's been a long time coming, but
yeah,
it'd be interesting to read now that we've just watched those movies and kind of going back and reading it now.
Yeah. Another movie series that Derek has watched that I haven't, that we're planning on embarking on soon, partially thanks to his sister Megan, who got me really excited about watching them, is The Hobbit.
Oh, so good.
So I've watched The Lord of the Rings with Derek.
Which we enjoyed a lot.
Yeah, I didn't know that I would. I don't know why I had it in my head that I wouldn't like them. They are long.
They're long movies.
I will say that. However...
You're in for it. Once you turn it on, you're in for it for a while. That's what you're doing that night or that afternoon or whatever. That's the plan.
But I really did enjoy them. I thought it was a great story. And We watched those almost a year ago, and I totally forgot that there was a prequel series in The Hobbit. And
has it really been that long since we watched?
Almost.
It's getting, I mean, a couple months away, but like,
yeah.
Wow.
I know.
That's
and
crazy.
And I totally forgot about The Hobbit. Would you say you which series you like better, The Hobbit or The Lord of the Rings?
I mean, to me, they're pretty different. I think The Hobbit is a lot more singular in its storyline. I mean, it's a lot more character driven. We're following a character through this story, whereas Lord of the Rings is painting the picture of an entire warring Middle Earth trying to defeat Sauron, and there's lots of different things going on all at the same time, which is really fun for me because I love when they flash around the different battles and different happenings.
Right.
And they do that a lot really well in Star Wars, which is one of my favorite parts of Star Wars. Usually the big battle of Star Wars, there's like three or four different things going on that are all part of this main battle at the end. And they do that pretty really well in Lord of the Rings too, where like there's like four different spots where everyone's fighting, everyone's working towards this end goal, where if one piece fails, then they all fail. Even if they haven't communicated in a while, they just keep on going and keep working to reach this goal. And so The Hobbit's a little more singular, but you do see elements of that throughout, which is cool.
I do think I might like the more singular aspect.
I think you would enjoy that.
Especially the first time watching a series. It's nice to have.
Yeah. When you watch something or you read something, I feel like you enjoy stories that are more character driven.
Right.
And that are able to dive a little bit deeper into that character's beliefs and emotions and why they do what they do. And The Hobbit is able to do that a little bit better just because there's less going on.
Yeah. And another movie we have on our to-watch list, which I can't believe neither of us have seen yet, is On the Basis of Sex, the movie about Ruth Bader Ginsburg. I know so many people have watched that movie, have recommended that movie, have loved that movie. But for some reason, I just haven't seen it yet. And we just recently rewatched the trailer for it, and it looks phenomenal. So I definitely want to give that a watch as
well. And that one's got, so back to my love of Star Wars, that one has, oh gosh, I'm blank on her name. What's her name?
She's the one in Rogue.
Jyn Erso in Rogue One. Oh no, Felicity Jones. Yes, Felicity Jones.
She plays Ruth, correct?
She plays Ruth Bader Ginsburg. And I think she's a great actor. She does an incredible job in Rogue One. Which, quick side note, I think Rogue One is so well done just because it is, for me, at least for me, I think it's interesting because they do a great job in that movie of combining those two styles that we've just been talking about, of that character driven, but also having the big battle at the end with lots of different pieces that if one piece fails, everyone fails. So I think that movie is made so great because it has so many aspects of storytelling that all just work really well together. And so it's able to move along the storyline while also incorporating that more galaxy-wide feel of triumph and failure and all of that thing, all of, everything that goes along with that. So,
on the note of Star Wars, I would love to point out that Derek grew up with Star Wars, has always loved Star Wars, and I really had never seen any of them, didn't really have any desire to watch them, and I don't think I ever would have if I wasn't dating someone who loved them so much that he got me really excited about at least watching the story and understanding that world. And I know a lot of people love the originals, which I will say, as someone who didn't watch them until really recently, I tend to prefer the newer ones. I think partially just because movies have evolved so much, and so to me, they're done a little bit better, whereas someone who'd watched them a long time ago is more just sentimental to that original story. But I want to point out that I really and truly enjoyed all of those movies, and I wasn't sure I would because some of them are so old. When did the first ones come out?
So A New Hope came out in 1977, so the first one came out 44 years ago at this point. And the fact that, is that right, 44? Or we are already
04, 14.
40, yeah, that's right. Yeah, 44. So 44 years ago. And I, you know, the fact that we're able to still enjoy those movies is a testament to the storytelling.
Yeah.
I'd agree. Even with that. Even if kind of the special effects and everything like that is 1977. Granted, you know, it was pioneering in 1977. That stuff was never seen before and was incredible what they're able to do with that movie. But for me, it's taken a long time, I think, to be truly honest. Now, when you ask me my favorite Star Wars movie is, my first response has pretty much always been Episode 5. And that's not untrue, but if you ask me if I like the original trilogy or the new trilogy better, in the past I would have said the original trilogy, but I'm as I've watched them more and become more honest with myself, I think the new trilogy, the prequels, are my three favorites, more because I grew up with them. And I think
new trilogy meaning the story about Anakin,
episodes 1, 2, and 3. Yep, starting with the Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith. And I think that those three movies, like, they have an ability in those movies to go to a little bit darker place, especially when it comes to Emperor Palpatine or Darth Sidious. And so I love the prequels and how they manipulate characters to build them towards the original trilogy, which I think is really cool and really fun to watch them grow towards those characters that we've known and loved for years and years and years. To have them go back and try to build characters toward that is kind of fun.
Right. And I just thought it was really interesting that I would have never watched them, but you loved them so much and I gave them a chance. And I do prefer the newer ones just because I don't have the sentiment of having watched them growing up. But would recommend, sit down with a friend, someone you know that really loved them, and watch them. But we started talking about Rogue One, which is what made me think of this. Probably my favorite of the Star Wars movies. I would say Rogue One, and what's the very most recent one that came out?
Episode The Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah, those two are my favorite of the Star Wars movies. But one perk of COVID, if those even exist, would be when movie theaters no longer had new movies to come out with. They started playing throwback movies that people have loved and will come and watch time and time again. And so we actually had the chance to go see one of the older Star Wars movies in theaters, which Jarek had never been able to see those in theaters before. Which one did we go see?
We were able to see Empire Strikes Back. So that's the one that I was considering my favorite. And I still consider it tied for first, I would say, probably with Revenge of the Sith. But it was incredible to see it in theaters. I'd never gotten the opportunity to do that. To see Star Wars on the big screen is how it was meant to be viewed. I mean, there's no question about that. That is how
the grandeur.
That is how Star Wars is meant to be viewed, meant to be seen, meant to be listened to. Especially the soundtrack all around you in the theater like that it's honestly the only word for it is magical. It's really cool to see it in theaters, and I've gotten to see everything since Episode 2 in theaters. So before And I've been able to go back at one point and I saw Episode 1 in 3D in theaters, which the 3D wasn't super hyped about, but the music all around me was incredible again for Episode 1. So, loved that. And I love going, being able to see movies in theaters, which speaking of movies in theaters that we hadn't seen, you had the same kind of experience with Harry Potter.
So, speaking of magical,
Part 2.
I had never seen a single Harry Potter movie in theaters. And if you know me, you know I absolutely love Harry Potter. I love the movies, I love the books, but something unique is I hadn't read the books until I was graduated from high school, and I had actually seen the movies prior to reading the books, which is also a really backwards approach that most people take. And so my love for Harry Potter came really late, and I think it's a phenomenal story. I love everything about it. but I had never gotten the chance to see the movies in theaters. But it's funny, I remember growing up, my oldest brother Ryan loved the books, loved the movies. He was one of those people that would wait at Barnes & Noble for the next book to come out. And he would get so excited about when the next movie was coming out to see in theaters.
My turning.
No. And Trip Talks. So, you'll get to
directions.
Hear.
Random when direction.
We're discussion. Really motivated to not miss any more exits. But because of COVID, new movies weren't coming out. And Derek and I both love movies. We love going to the movies. I love to support the movie theaters by spending $30 on popcorn and snacks. Can't help it. And we had been looking because we were curious. And it was showing the very last Harry Potter movie. And I think with everything that happens in that movie, it's the perfect one. For if I was to see any of them in theaters, I think that was the best one I could have seen. And so that was a really cool experience for me too, to see, you know, I mean, for what most people is like a childhood, I guess it came out what, in 20?
I think it came out like 2011. Okay,
yeah.
Maybe.
So that one wasn't necessarily childhood, but I hadn't seen it. And so for me to get to have that experience, which I normally wouldn't have, was really cool. So we've still been able to make it to a couple movies despite the lack of new movies coming out. Yeah, I think that's kind of where we're at in terms of movies right now. Not watching any new shows. I'm rewatching Gilmore Girls, which is tried and true. I'll always love that show.
It's awesome. I really enjoy Gilmore Girls.
We are on this road for 36 more miles.
36 more.
In terms of what's new, NCAA basketball.
The tournament getting going here.
Derek, excuse me. Derek and I just made our brackets.
I've got one bracket made. I've got plans tonight to probably make a decent amount more, maybe probably 10 more, with some different things going on, different upsets that I feel like could happen.
We're really hoping for that perfect bracket, $1 million prize.
Yeah. So I found a couple different competitions through different radio stations that if you fill out your perfect bracket, you get $1 million or whatever.
Which, Derek, some people might not know how difficult it is to get a perfect bracket. And I knew that it was nearly impossible, but Derek recently read an article that like really broke down how hard it is to get a perfect bracket, and I think you should share.
It's true. Now, granted, filling out a bracket is free, so that is one bonus to the whole situation. So if you're comparing this to buying lottery tickets do cost you money every time you want to buy one, so that is one bonus to playing the bracket game instead of buying lottery tickets. But if you compare the odds of winning the lottery to the odds of filling out a perfect March Madness bracket, your odds of winning the lottery are much better than filling out a perfect bracket. The odds of winning the lottery are about 1 in 320 to 330 million, which those are extremely long odds, right? It just, if you play the lottery, the assumption is you've just lost however much money you spent. That's pretty much how it goes. But somebody wins the lottery about once every month or two. That's kind of how it also works, is people do win the lottery. That's very likely that's going to happen. Filling out a perfect bracket for your March Madness tournament has never happened, and according to the numbers, likely will never happen. The best that anyone has ever done has been the second game of the Sweet 16. They were perfect all the way through the second game of the Sweet 16, which they lost. Now, for reference, if you have add up all the games being played, there are 63 games in the NCAA tournament. This guy had gotten 49 of them correct and lost in the second game of the Sweet 16. The odds of filling out a perfect bracket and getting all 63 games correct, if you know nothing about basketball and simply use a coin flip, are 1 in 9 quintillion, 300 and something quadrillion, all the way down. It's so basically 1 9.3 quintillion that you get it right, and it goes quintillion
people. Quintillion. Did you even know quintillion was a thing? Those are the odds.
So that's quintillion, quadrillion, trillion, billion, million, thousands, hundreds. So that's how that goes. Quintillion is literally two groups of three numbers higher than trillion. So filling out a perfect bracket with a coin flip, it's not going to happen. The odds of that happening are so long that
it won't
happen. Now, if you know something about basketball and you're using your background knowledge and you're using different resources to help you learn more about each team and each game before you make your pick, well, then your odds have increased. You've gotten a lot better chance of getting it right. But even with all of that knowledge, your odds to fill out a perfect bracket for the NCAA men's basketball tournament are still 1 in 120 billion. 1 in 120 billion. Think about that. Your odds to win the lottery are 1 in 330 million. So they're just... filling out a perfect bracket just isn't going to happen. If you get the math and you calculate it all out, the odds say that we won't see a perfect bracket until we have for another 300 years. For another 300 years, we won't see another perfect bracket. We've never seen one. We will never see one. So if we ever see it happen, that's something to be celebrated for the rest of human history, because it will never happen again.
So honestly, $1 million prize doesn't seem big enough. I think if someone gets a perfect bracket,
I think they should receive a title of king of some small country. I know. It feels like that's the appropriate response to a perfect bracket, is becoming king. I don't know.
But anyway, Derek and I are very confident that...
I feel like this is my year, though. I mean...
those billions of odds.
This is the year.
There's a good chance for both of us.
So, but super exciting. I love the NCAA tournament. Lots of basketball. Basketball's super fun to watch, especially in March. Everyone is extremely excited about every game they play. It's heartbreaking to watch your favorite teams lose.
Which, unfortunately, neither of our favorite teams are in the tournament this year. I went to Iowa State fan. Derek is Nebraska Husker.
Big time Corn Husker. Go Big Red.
We love each other's teams now. And football this year for Iowa State was awesome. We're not even going to talk about Nebraska's football season. But basketball this year, really tough on both of our teams.
Everybody was sad.
And so neither of us have a team that we're really rooting for in the tournament. But really, we just get to be unbiased and make our brackets based on...
I'm true to party lines when it comes to cheering for conferences. I want the Big Ten to do well. Being a Nebraska fan, being the Big Ten... I want to see the Big Ten do well. I think the Big 12 has also got a great shot at having a lot of teams make it pretty far. I think Illinois, with their ability to play inside and outside, they have a great shot at winning the whole thing. I just see Illinois making it really far, getting to the championship game. I think the championship game is going to be a Big Ten matchup. Michigan versus Illinois is my championship matchup in my main bracket. Again, I'm going to fill out more brackets as we go here, but... my first bracket that I filled out is usually my favorite one, my best one. And that one is going to have Michigan versus Illinois in the championship game. So we'll see. I took three Big Ten teams to the Final Four. I took Purdue, Michigan, and Illinois. And then my fourth team is Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga is going to make it all the way to the Final Four as well. And losing to Michigan. So I think it's going to be a fun tournament. I thought
you had Michigan in your final...
Yeah, Gonzaga loses to Michigan.
Oh, gotcha.
So I think it's gonna be a fun tournament. A lot of great teams out there this year. A lot of great shooting teams. I think we've seen a big time resurgence in college basketball of the five, the center, the true big man. And I think that's really exciting for I think basketball's a lot more fun when you have all the different positions and not everybody is just 6'5", 6'6", and can shoot. But when you see all the different positions being played in basketball, I think the game becomes really, really fun. And we've seen, especially in the Big Ten, we've seen a lot of really great big guys in the league this year, and that's been really fun. So, tournament coming up, starts tomorrow. Tune in, local listings. I don't even know what they are.
I don't think we need to tell them.
I'm just trying to help the people, babe.
Probably figure it out.
Trying to help the people.
Okay, I get it. yeah, that's what's new. We're going to be stopping for food here pretty soon. It's 1 o'clock, late lunch. Maybe find some Starbucks. Because what's a road trip without some Starbucks coffee?
It's just not a road trip.
It's not. Speaking of road trip, why don't we share our road trip snacks?
Yeah, that sounds like a good time.
Derek and I were very excited about buying road trip snacks. And we really went all over the board. I did manage to contain myself and didn't buy any candy, which is huge for me. I do love candy on a road trip, but decided to hold off to just getting it at a gas station if I really needed it, because spending 8 hours in a car just eating sugar on sugar on sugar, maybe not my best plan, which we still did buy plenty of sugar. Let's see here. My personal favorite snack that we brought was Chewy Chips Ahoy.
Those are tasty.
I don't ever buy those, and so it felt like kind of a special treat. Derek, what was your favorite road trip snack we brought?
You know, we haven't actually cracked them open yet, and I was planning to kind of on the final leg of our journey is the Frosted Animal Crackers. Oh my gosh, those are so good.
Derek was excited about those. We also brought the Zesty Ranch Cheez-It Grooves, which I just introduced Derek to. He had never had the Cheez-It Grooves or the Cheez-It Snapped Crackers. And I'm a big fan of all forms of Cheez-It. And we really like the Zesty Ranch Cheez-It Grooves.
Those are fire.
Yeah, fire.
Also, the Fruit Gushers. We had some Fruit Gushers, and those are just, those are a childhood favorite.
Basically.
One that mom never lets you have, but when she does, they're incredible. And so we're like, you know what? We're adults. We can do it. Fruit Gushers.
Basically, we got all the things that we wouldn't normally eat just in honor of being on vacation.
Heck to the yeah.
Also, happy St. Patrick's Day. It is...
I've got my green on.
March 17th here as we record this podcast.
Lucky Charms shirt.
Your Lucky Charms shirt? Yeah, yeah. Derek ordered a Lucky Charms shirt off of Amazon in honor of St. Patrick's Day. Mine came too late, so I don't have mine. But he was really excited about it. Yeah, immediately upon arrival, I will open my package so I don't get pinched for not wearing green.
Yeah, well, we want to thank our sponsors, Pringles and
Chips Ahoy.
Chips Ahoy and Jeep. Thank you, Jeep, for carrying us along the journey.
Always shout out to Jeep.
Shout out, Jeep.
And Table Rock Lake for the good times.
Table Rock Lake. Was a party. We're looking for a roadside gas station here. I'm not seeing one at this moment. So,
and thank you for listening to our podcast, for being a part of our trip talk. Really good way to pass the time. If you think of anything you want to hear us talk about or want to know about Derek or myself, you know what to do.
Give our administrative assistant Jenny a call at 867-5309.
867-5309.
867-5309. That's right. All right, guys. Well, thanks. Have a great day. Bye.
Thanks for coming to
Trip Talk
with Hannah and Derek, or Derek and Hannah. Either way you put it, it's still the two of us. Have a great day.
Peace.